Good afternoon. Let's call this meeting to order. This is the Senate Committee on Regional Affairs meeting. The record reflect that it's 3:30 in the afternoon, Tuesday, April 7th, 2009. With us, we have Senator French, Senator Menard, and myself, Senator Olson. This time, I want to remind everybody to go ahead and turn off your cell phones and Blackberries, and as this interferes with the telecommunications. The purpose of this meeting is to take up the following legislation, which is House Bill 10, Municipal Taxes, Costs, and Exemptions. At this time, the first order of business is to adopt the committee substitute. Have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move the committee substitute draft for House Bill 10, version LS0063W, as in women.
Backslash W?
Backslash W.
Okay, with no objection, we'll go ahead and adopt that. Want to welcome Senator Kukesh to the committee this afternoon. First up, we'll have Christine Hess, the staff to Representative Jewell, to present the committee substitute.
My name is Christine Hess, and I'm Chief of Staff to Representative Jewell. The change in the committee substitute is an amendment, and the amendment continues an exemption for a tax for the Northwest Arctic Borough. As many of you know, the Northwest Arctic Borough has the Red Dog Mine, which is the world's largest zinc mine. And as part of that mine, there is the DeLong Mountain Transportation System, which is a 52-mile road and port site loading facility. And what the exemption does is it excludes the port site facility and the 52-mile road from the fair value determination for the Northwest Arctic Borough. And as you know, the full value determination is used to calculate the required local share for school support. So if you included the DeLong Mountain Terminal, it would significantly increase the local contribution for the Northwest Arctic Borough. The Northwest Arctic Borough has participated considerably in the development of a modernized school facility program throughout the region and has approved approximately $76 million in bonded indebtedness, so it's already contributing. Additionally, the road in the port side facility is owned by ADA, so it is a publicly owned road. So what the addition does is extend the exemption till November 2012, at which time the legislature can reevaluate whether the exemption should continue.
Any questions, Ms. Hess? Senator French.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Hess, I just want to make sure, because as I was flipping through the bill as fast as I could to find out where all that stuff was you just told me about, I realized it's actually just in a extension of a sunset date in Section 6. Is that right?
Yes.
There's no other explicit reference to Red Dog, DeLong, Mountain,
no.
Road Prod, you know, all
no.
That stuff is just buried in a statute that has a sunset, and we're pushing it from November of this year to November 2012.
Yeah, and actually it's more complicated than that because it's been amended several times, and so if you go back and research, it just keeps referencing back.
The sunset, if I may? Is that what
yes.
you mean?
Yes.
Right, the sunset's been pushed forward probably five times, I don't know now.
Yeah.
And the fiscal impact of the state on extending that sunset?
Arguably, there's no fiscal impact because it hasn't ever
right.
been. The sunset's never we've actually
never, right.
set it. The sun's never gone. The sun's never gone down on the exemption.
Okay, and if it did, what would be the cost there or the impact to the state?
I have no idea.
Does anybody have an idea?
Well, I think, Senator French, I think what would happen is that the bonded indebtedness that the Northwest Arctic Borough has in putting funding toward the schools, what would happen is that if you don't have the payment in lieu of taxes that comes from the mine, then they'd be looking to the state to make up for those funds. And that's
would be it'd be a mox nix.
Generally, there is a an awash to it to a certain degree.
I see.
And I don't have all the numbers in hand, but that's how it would work.
I seem to remember going over this just last year as we were extending the sunset to 2009.
Right.
And I guess my last question, I don't mean to belabor this, is was this added to HB 10 recently, or was it in HB 10 from the beginning? I guess I'm looking to the sponsor or to you, either one, if you know.
It's being added here.
Oh,
this
here.
This is where it's being added, yes.
Okay.
And Senator Olson does have a very good point in that the Northwest Arctic Borough enters into a PILT agreement with the Red Dog Mine. So if at this point in time we change the tax base assessment that's going to the Northwest Arctic Borough, they would have no way to recoup that because they don't renegotiate until 2011. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a situation where they could go back and just ask for increased revenues from the mine, which is their main source of revenue.
Okay. And not that, and I guess I just have one more question since I'm finding out now that it's just, and you probably said this, I just hadn't sunk in, I'm a little slow. I guess I just have to ask why it didn't get added on the House side. I mean, this is a House bill in the Senate. I don't know if it's in its last committee of referral or maybe it's got one more committee, but this is a fairly significant, it's good. I've supported this in the past. I voted for it in the past, but I just want to let the public know what's happening.
Originally, we have added it to HB 90, which is the ADA bond bill that's moving through, but it doesn't seem to be picking up steam, and HB 10 seems to be moving, and it also fits within this bill, and so we decided to.
Short, the sponsor was gracious enough to go ahead and allow it to be added.
I'm sure he was. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. Thank you.
Any further questions of Ms. Hess by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for presenting to us, Ms. Hess. Next, we have a call forward Representative Max Gruenberg to present the bill, or one of your trusty aides.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you very much for hearing the bill. My name is Max Gruenberg. I represent House District 20, and this is old wine in a new cask. Well, actually, it's got a little more wine in the cask. To answer Senator French's question through the chair, this provision was added in this committee, and there'll be a concurrent resolution for the title change. It simply extends this for 3 years, and it would put the borough in a very tough situation because they can't renegotiate the PILT until 2011, and it will allow them to continue the current arrangement. And it would be just much more expensive for the borough if this thing sunsets with no good benefit to that. I certainly would have been willing to accept this had it been offered in the House, and I don't think there would have been any objection, and I don't see this burdening the bill in the House. It goes to the Senate Finance Committee, and I cannot comment on how things go on your side of the Capitol. So, but I'm very pleased to see this in there, and I hope it will help the bill. The bill is the same as the bill that was here in the last legislature, with two exceptions. First of all, the provision on APU that you changed with Senator Gary Stevens last time. The APU exemption on page 2, line 19, used to say shall, and in this committee you changed it to may to make it an optional exemption, and that has remained.
Representative Gruenberg, do you want to just go through the bill?
Sure.
So we have a better idea, and then we'll talk about the changes afterwards.
Yes. Section 1 is a new section, and co-sponsor Representative Chenault added this at the request of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. The borough has a problem because it collects taxes on behalf of either the city of, no, on behalf of this, I know it's the city of Seward. Seward has asked the borough to do some tax collecting for it. That has required the borough to buy some software and incur some expenses. And this will simply allow the borough to recoup the cost of those expenses, which is only fair because they're collecting it for the city, and they should be able to recoup their actual costs. And this was offered in the Senate Finance Committee, and the bill died there, So when we reintroduced the bill, we put Section 1 in the bill, which is identical to what he had offered. And the there was a provision, if I may, Mr. Chair, that was added in this committee, I believe by Senator Thomas, that would have raised the $20,000 residential exemption to $40,000. That proved to be controversial, and in order to get the bill through the House, we had to excise that. That is gone. Other than that, what I'm going to be telling you now is the same thing I told you the last time I visited here. So Section 2 is the provision that continues to allow a widow or widower of a disabled veteran to continue to receive their tax exemption for their primary residence, which is their permanent place of abode. And once again, this covers them until they get to be at least 60, when they would have previously been eligible for it. And it doesn't cover it if the person remarries. Section 3 is the APU provision that allows APU to get the tax exemption for the underlying building, which once again is used as an instructional facility for students, and the docs who are there are instructors, adjunct professors at the university. And once again, the leasehold interest is taxable to the extent of the leasehold. And I do apologize, Mr. Chair. We redrafted this provision, page 3, lines 5 to 12, to include the however clause on line 10, because it was just incorrectly written. And in the Senate House Finance Committee, we redrafted it. I think it was, wasn't it in the Finance Committee? Yeah. That was my assistant, Allison Lafine. Because it was just an incorrect statutory reference. Section 4 is once again the fraternal organization tax exemption, because these buildings that are owned by fraternal societies are oftentimes used as the meeting halls and town facilities in these small communities. And Section 5 is the cop in the neighborhood bill. This is the sixth year we've been looking at this, and I hope it'll be the last, that encourages police to move into high crime areas where they will help us control the crime. And it would have been helpful in Nikiski, where Representative Chenault represents, and it'll be helpful in Mountain View and in other areas in Anchorage, and I hope it would be helpful in other communities across the state. And then Section 6, we've just talked about, that's the red dog provision. And Section 2 of the Act, which deals with the widower's exemption, will take place on the next calendar year, which is a taxable year. We had to give that a special delayed effective date, and that's Section 7. And I'd be delighted to answer any questions. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members.
Any questions of Representative Gruenberg by members of the committee? Senator Menard.
Just one clarification. When you say fraternal, you mean like community of the Filipinos, like that? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, or Elks or something like
the
that.
Elks.
Through the chair, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
So if you have something like the Freemasons or a Masonic temple, you're making this?
Yes. Yeah, and again, that's by an ordinance, and it has to be, that's the one that has to be ratified by the voters. Mm-hmm. And I'm pointing to page 3, line 16. It's an ordinance, and it has to be specially ratified by the voters. In all the time this bill has been around, it has been carefully looked at and really carefully sidebarred, and each of these is really a separate bill, and it's just married together for convenience, really.
Any other questions of Representative Senator French?
Just to make sure I understand, on Section 3, the APU section, APU is or is not right now paying property taxes?
They were not, but the assessor, the municipal assessor, recently assessed them. And that is what has, there is litigation, but they're also seeking a legislative fix. And frankly, this is probably a better way to do it, because there's no question, and it is a collegial solution rather than an adversarial one.
That's always to be hoped for. But just so I'm clear, not been paying taxes in the past, got hit with an assessment in the face of that, they pursued several avenues, and you are their white knight.
Hopefully.
Thank you.
We are.
That's right, we are.
You are.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions of Representative Gruenberg? I've got a couple of questions. One has to do with the original bill that had the exemption up to $40,000. Are you in favor of that?
Personally, the residential. You mean the one that's gone? Yes, I am. And the reason is because there is a petition, an initiative, that is circulating from folks in Fairbanks that goes up to $100,000. And if we don't do something here and we're not responsive to this request for tax relief, we're going to see a real tough situation because that bill will pass. That initial initiative will pass, and it will throw municipalities into chaos. I would like this legislature to take some position so that we can say we have acted responsibly to help the citizens, but we're not going to bust the municipalities.
And so the burden of taxation is going to rest with those other people that are paying taxes on, that are paying property taxes?
It would shift it to some extent to the commercial sphere. But I'm concerned with this gun over our head, we're going to be faced with a worse solution. Mm-hmm. And before it was $40,000, maybe just something so that we can say we've taken some responsible step, and we can defend the position, and I wouldn't have any problem in taking that position publicly, which I'm doing now on the record. Mm-hmm. But I think if we turn our backs, we're going to see the voters take it out of our hands and cause a very, very serious situation across the state.
Okay. If there are no further questions of Representative Gruenberg, we'll go ahead and go to public testimony.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Public testimony, we'll go ahead and start with Dr. Douglas North from Alaska Pacific University. Dr. North, are you on, sir?
Yes, I am. I'm here. I'm here to answer any questions that the committee might have.
Any questions of Dr. North? Dr. North, it's my understanding that apparently recently there's been a change by the municipality of Anchorage to look at or revisit the situation there with the university. Was there anything that prompted this, any change of activities that were happening on the campus that caused the assessor to become aware of this?
I believe actually it was the Anchorage Baptist Temple. And when the Anchorage Baptist Temple was complaining about the way in which their faculty members were property taxed, they kind of pointed at Alaska Pacific University as an example of where that was happening. Now, it turned out that we ended up prevailing in that particular case, and we were not taxed on the residences of our faculty. However, we have been taxed since that time on this other building that was investigated by the assessor at the same time, and he determined that unless there was a specific exemption that was granted by the legislature, then the municipality was not able to allow that property to be taxed as a private leasehold arrangement. And hence, we are coming to the legislature with the prompted in part by the Anchorage Assembly, which has gone on record to indicate that they're in favor of the legislature making that kind of action through this bill of allowing APU to be taxed the same way the University of Alaska is taxed in this situation, and to have that tax calculated on the basis of private leasehold. I know that's a complicated answer, but that's how I think it unfolded.
Okay. Any further questions of Dr. North?
Yes.
Senator Menard.
Yes. Will you share with us how many acres you're on there at APU? And I apologize if it's in
uh-huh.
and I missed it.
We have approximately 178 acres of campus, which includes recreational lands, academic lands, and then also a portion of the campus that under our BLM agreement, Alaska Methodist University and now Alaska Pacific University were originally a land-grant university, and so we were to use those lands in order to generate income to come into the academic functions of the university. And it's one of those, which is a private interest, which is now being taxed for the full value of the building instead of being taxed at private leasehold interest rate.
So, Dr. North, of the 178 acres, you're saying how many acres of that is taxable or is going to be paying property?
Well, the only one that's being taxed is approximately 4 acres.
4 acres. Follow-up, Senator Bernard?
No, that's quite a deal more acreage than I had realized. I just thank you for that information.
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be even more than that. But over the years, we're not in that situation now, but over the years, the university had to let some acreage go in order to maintain operations.
Okay. If there are no further questions of Dr. North, thank you very much for your testimony this afternoon.
Certainly. Okay.
Next, we have Sergeant Mike Coutier. Sergeant Coutier, sir. If not, we have Steve Van Zandt. Is Mr. Van Zandt on the line?
Mr. Chair, this is Steve Van Zandt, State Assessor. I'm available for questions if the committee has any.
Okay. Do we have a position that you have on this legislation, Mr. Van Zandt, since you're the State Assessor?
We haven't taken a position on the bill. The new amendment kind of surprises us here, but we'd be happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
When you talk about surprising, Mr. Van Zandt, can you tell me more specifically what you were surprised at?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that the amendment was attached to this bill, I thought it was going on the ADA bill. I believe that the department has taken a no position on that amendment, too. It just kind of surprised me that it came up on this bill is all.
Okay. And you understand why it was on this bill, sir?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Any questions, Mr. Van Zandt? Mr. Van Zandt, one further question I have for you. What is going to be the overall impact to the state's revenue stream or its coffers by this bill going through?
The bill itself, all the exemptions really don't have any effect on state coffers since the $40,000 residential exemption that Representative Gruenberg was talking about earlier has been removed. It wouldn't have any effect on state coffers. The only one that relates in any way to the money the state takes in would be the amendment of the Red Dog, which affects state education funds by in the neighborhood of $400,000. The 4 mil equivalency on that. It's about a $200 million valuation for the area where the two ore storage buildings out there at the port and the road is about the neighborhood of $200 million. By statute, only $100 million of it would be included in the full value for education purposes, which equates to about $400,000.
Okay.
But other than that, there wouldn't be any effect on state revenues.
Thank you, Mr. Van Zandt. Any further questions, Mr. Van Zandt? If not, we have Marvin Yoder. Mr. Yoder, your answer? Not on. Is Mike Coutier there? Is he on? C-O-U-T-U-R-I-E-R? Not on?
Okay. He's a police officer.
Yeah.
If you know that.
It says here he's in favor of the bill. Alaska Police or Anchorage Police Department.
Mr. Chair, I wonder if he's muted.
Apparently, he's not even online. We'll go to Sharon Weddleton. Ms. Weddleton, are you on?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming in loud and clear. Identify yourself for the record and go do the testimony.
My name is Sharon Weddleton. I'm the Chief Fiscal Officer for the Municipality of Anchorage. I appreciate the opportunity to speak today. And I would ask for a clarification, if I may receive one. I need to be sure that the section that adds the private nonprofit four-year college still reads that a municipality may, by ordinance, exempt rather than shall. Could you please confirm that the wording still says may, sir?
We'll have Representative Gruenberg come up and answer the question since he's the prime sponsor of the bill, Ms. Weddleton.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Max Gruenberg again. Ms. Weddleton, the answer to your question is definitely yes. Let me read line 19 from page 2, and it says, a municipality may by ordinance classify and exempt from taxation property of the private nonprofit four-year college, et cetera.
I thank you very much, and as long as the word still reads may, the municipality of Anchorage does not have a position on this bill.
No position on the bill, Ms. Willis.
That's right.
Is that correct?
Thank you.
I do have one question for you.
Sure.
Isn't today Election Day? And I hope,
yes, sir.
Did you vote, ma'am?
Well, I'm going to vote tonight on my way home.
Thank you very much. If there's no further questions, thank you very much, Ms. Weddleton. Next, we'll go to Kelly Taylor. Ms. Taylor, are you on?
Yes, I am, sir, and I'd actually choose to pass my time. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, Ms. Taylor. I didn't quite understand what you said.
I'm sorry, sir. I signed up to testify, and I'd like to pass that opportunity now, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much for at least listening to what's going on here, and we appreciate your involvement.
Bring it thank you.
Next, we have Troy Tankersley. Mr. Tankersley, are you on, sir?
I am, sir. Thank you. I am speaking on behalf of the City of Wasilla as controller for the City of Wasilla. The city would like to express its concern against House Bill 10, specifically as it relates to Section 1. City of Wasilla currently collects its own sales tax, and the Matsu Borough currently has another initiative to try to bring forth to the voters a Matsu sales tax as well. We have concern with this in regards to a borough charging the cities an administrative fee, if you will, where rates, et cetera, are not deemed within this bill. So basically it gives the ability for a borough to charge pretty much whatever they'd like. You know, and that kind of goes into the property tax as well. But I would also like to, if I may, correct our Representative Gruenberg in regards to the Kenai Peninsula Borough and Seward. The Kenai Peninsula Borough undertook a very extensive software enhancement program back in 2005, to which I was an accounting supervisor for them at that time. Seward did not make their change until such time most recently. So Seward, with its change, did not impact the Kenai Peninsula Borough in its efforts to upgrade its software. They may have incurred more costs because of the change, but certainly not on the onset of new capital purchases. So again, I guess I would express from the cities of Wasilla's perspective and the other cities around this borough, us being against this House Bill 10 as it relates to Section 1. And I'd entertain any questions that you may have.
Any other questions of Mr. Tankersley by members of the committee? If not, we'll have Representative Gruenberg come on up to the stand.
Again, this is Representative Gruenberg. Sir, I stand corrected on that. I didn't know about the timing of it. The information you provided is important for me to know. The intent of the language, and in case you have a bill in front of you, this is the same in this Section 1. It's the same as the bill has been all along, and the intent on page 1, line 12, and I'm not sure what page it would be on your version, but it's the third line or fourth line down in Section 1. The borough may charge a city a fee for costs of collecting. The intent there is recoupment of the costs that are incurred actually incurred by the borough for collecting the tax. It is not to be used to profit the borough, simply to reimburse the borough for their actual out-of-pocket costs in collecting any tax for this city. And presumably, if they're doing that, that would be subject of an agreement, a contract, between the borough and the city, and they would both have to agree that the city was to perform the services and as to the amount of the fee. The reason that this is in the bill is because this sort of thing, I understand, can't be done unless state law permits it. So this just authorizes that contract to take place and allow the recoupment of the actual costs. I hope through the chair that that answers the gentleman's concern.
Mr. Tankersley, do you understand the representative's testimony?
I do. If I may, though, I would like to, the Section 1 does not say that. It does say, it says specifically that a borough may charge a city a fee for costs of collecting a tax. And that, in its nature, can be any kind of cost, administrative costs, personnel costs, postage, you name it, as it relates to the collection of sales tax in general, not any specific costs incurred based upon a city's change or otherwise.
Okay, any further questions, Mr. Tankersley, by members of the committee? If not, thank you very much for your coming out this afternoon, Mr. Tankersley.
Thank you.
Anybody else in the room want to go ahead and speak to this bill? Anybody else online want to go ahead and speak to this bill? At this time, we'll go ahead and close public testimony. Ask the wishes of the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move House Bill number 10, version LS-0063-W, an act authorizing a borough to charge a city for costs of collecting certain taxes relating to a mandatory exemption from municipal property taxes for residents of certain widows or widowers and to optional exemptions from municipal property taxes for property of certain fraternal organizations or certain college property and for certain residential property, providing for an effective date by amending the effective date to Section 3, Chapter 117 SLA 2000 as amended by Section 2, Chapter 74 SLA 2003 and by Section 3, Chapter 67 SLA 2008 2008 and providing for an effective date with any fiscal note and
individual recommendations. Any objection to it moving? If not, moves out of committee. We just want to go ahead and point out that the next committee meeting will be held on at 3:30 on Thursday, April 9th, 2009. This meeting is adjourned at 4:10.